Each day, millions of prayers are said, chanted, spoken, chimed, somehow go up, they think, to God. Some of them are mine, and maybe some of them are yours. And you know, they go in all forms. I mean, from prayer wheels in streams in Nepal to burning joss sticks in China to repetitive and responsive readings in churches, especially on the weekends, there are prayers going up and people are praying, opening and closing prayers in services, people going into the nave or the various areas of great cathedrals and lighting candles and making signs of the cross. There are certainly an awful lot of prayers in hospitals and nursing homes and hospices and private homes where people are sick. We have letters coming in all the time about people requesting prayer for everything you can imagine, from murder to divorce to terrible financial distress to terminal diseases, operations, strokes, cancer, you name it. If there's a human debility or disease that we have ever heard of, it comes in our mail and we hear about people wanting us to pray. Is there anyone up there listening? How do you get an answer to prayer? Millions of people worry about that. They're confused, they're perplexed, they wonder about it, because I can tell you that I've talked to so many thousands of people in my lifetime, in my 42 years in a ministry and 40 years on television and radio broadcasting, that most people generally do not feel they get really solid, discernible answers. They can pray and pray and pray about a particular situation that seems almost as if it's falling on deaf ears. And they wonder how to get through to God. Well, I've got something I want to tell you about, a very important book entitled The Answer to Unanswered Prayer. I'm going to come back and tell you more about this in a little while. It's a thick book, an extremely valuable book, but it's free of charge. And there's no hook in what I'm saying, by the way. It doesn't mean because I say it's a valuable book that it costs you later, next year, or next month, or next week. No, not at all. It's absolutely free of charge. I want to tell you all about it and tell you why I wrote it and tell you what is in it. It is entitled The Answer to Unanswered Prayer, and it's a beautiful book, and it is thoroughly researched. It is, let's see, and I'll tell you here in a moment, because it's about the size of a paperback. It's 158 pages, plus mentioning a couple of other free pieces of literature that we have toward the end of the book. I know that I want my prayers answered. When I go before God and have to pour out to Him my innermost, deepest feelings, I want to know that He's listening. And I want to know somehow that a response is coming back from the other direction. Now, let me draw you an analogy here. If you can understand radio and television, you understand VHF and UHF radio. When I used to fly a Falcon jet and a Citation C-500 and a bunch of other aircraft, about 68 in all, and I think about 11 different jets over a period of many, many years. When you were going along talking to center, and the pilots are doing that up there in your commercial aircraft when you're flying along enjoying a flight somewhere, and they're switching from one to another, who hands off, as they say, the aircraft on the radar scope. They will switch to 13355, and they will say, like Albuquerque Center, this is American Flight 597, and we're level 370. The only reason they're getting through to Albuquerque Center, and the only reason Albuquerque Center is able to communicate with them, is because they are on the right wavelength. Now, right now, where you sit, and you're watching this program in your living room or your family room or wherever, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of sounds that are coming into your room, bombarding your body and your eardrums, but you can't hear them because they're in a completely different frequency. If you had a little handheld transistor, you could be watching this television program, turn it on, dial across the FM dial, and hear dozens of different voices, music, whatever. We're all aware of that. If you had one of the special radios where you can tune ship to shore, long wave, LFMF, and so on, and I have one that I used to really fiddle around with and enjoy, I could actually hear ships talking to the harbor master and so on in Los Angeles Harbor. I could hear aircraft coming in for landings at LAX. I could hear all kinds of different things on the kind of a radio that you and I can go down and buy at Radio Shack. Now, my point is that the air is filled with frequencies, and people are talking to each other all the time. Does God operate like that? Is there a frequency? Is there a wavelength? Is there some way, some secret to prayer? Is there some method by which we can know that we are getting through to God and He is hearing us? I want to go into that as I tell you about this booklet and about what Jesus Christ of Nazareth says about prayer, because there are all kinds of ways in which people are trying to get God's attention. Now, you know, in India, the way many people try to get God's attention is to hurt themselves. We've seen pictures of people standing around on beds of coals or lying on a bed of nails. They're holy men that think they're supposed to go out and sit in front of a cave and stare at the sun when it comes up until they go completely blind, and that somehow is their idea. It's a pagan heathen religion, but that God wants them to be a blind beggar all the rest of their lives, and so they just burn out their eyes. There are people who believe that self-flagellation, walking up and down the streets at Ashura in some of the Islamic countries and whipping themselves with whips, is what God likes. There are those who believe they ought to walk on their knees for about 5 miles before they come up to the great Basilica del Virgen de Guadalupe in Mexico City, which is the patron saint of the Latin-speaking peoples, with their knees bleeding, in order to get some kind of a communication with this virgin that they believe can heal their sick loved ones and so on. There are people that believe that they ought to fast for lengthy periods of time, and that will get God's attention. And there are all kinds of ways in which people think they ought to get God's attention. Let's think of some others. There are people that believe that I got a letter the other day that commanded me to grow a beard. You are hereby commanded, and this fellow said. He was very sincere, and I have no doubt he wears one. And he said, don't you know that you're appearing? He said that I was appearing before you people in the wrong way, that if I were really some kind of a prophet, which I really don't claim to be, or an evangelist and so on, I don't even like that term. I like to talk to people, I like to lecture to people, I like to preach to people, I like to get them to think, I like to reason with people, I like to tell them about what the Bible says, but generically, televangelist and I, that's not a term I really like, because if you look right across the channels on Sunday morning and you look at all that's going on and people holding up things for sale and begging for money, I don't do that, I can't do that, I will never do that, I don't want to do that. And of course I don't get on here and weep and cry and beg people for this and that. So there's a lot of difference between what I do. But my point is that a lot of people think that unless you appear in a certain way, having to do with human hair length, facial hair, or the absence of it, having to do with whether or not you're in a uniform, some people think they ought to wear a dress, they ought to wear a black habit, they ought to have ringlets down to here. A lot of ladies, sincere as they can be, in the Roman Catholic Church and other churches have to wear either a veil or a hat on their head before they can go into church because they think the Bible tells them that they ought to do that. So there are certain uniforms that people get into and they think, that's got God's attention. What about hanging upside down in a coal mine by one leg with a rope that caught just before you reach the end of it? Can you get God's attention that way? Now, a lot of the things that I've seen in motion pictures is like the proverbial scene on the battlefield, Lord, for what we are about to receive, we give thee thanks. I remember that's been used at least a couple of times during World War II or Guadalcanal Diary or whatever, when incoming artillery is about to land on their positions. So that's kind of a funny way to look at it. But I've also heard people in extreme fright of their lives, like bouncing around in the middle of a storm-tossed Pacific Ocean on a life raft for five, and they're saying, let us pray, and they say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and that's their prayer. And every weekend, millions of people repeat the Lord's Prayer in responsive reading. Now, I'm going to show you in a moment some scriptures about that. We're going to go through that and see exactly what Christ himself said about how to pray, the manner of prayer, an outline of prayer that he gave. And I use that outline, by the way, for this booklet. It goes through, step by step, what Jesus said in the 6th chapter of the book of Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount. And I used every one of those statements, like, Our Father which art in heaven. And there's a whole chapter that deals with, well, why is he our Father? And in what way is he our Father? And about the fatherhood of God. And is that merely a theological description, or is it really a fact of some kind? And how do you understand that? And then, which art in heaven? Well, what heaven? Do you know the Bible talks about three heavens? It talks about the heaven of the air that envelops this earth, in which the birds fly and the clouds form. It talks about the heavens of where the stars are and the universe. And it talks about the third heaven, and even uses that particular description, as being the place where God dwells. And then, hallowed be thy name. Go through all about the names of God. the divine titles of God, who and what he is, how he's appeared to men, what he said he was, what he said to Moses, the names in the Bible and what they mean. It's an in-depth study, and it really, I think, is going to prove to be one of the most encouraging things you've ever read. It may absolutely change your prayer life, or if you don't even have a prayer life, it may get you started on one. And it may be the key that will unlock an answer to prayer. And here it is. It's a thick booklet. It's absolutely free, really a book. It's absolutely free of charge and no price, and it's entitled The Answer to Unanswered Prayer. Let's take a quick time out and let you take a look at this and get the name and the address, or better yet, the telephone number, because you can call right away during the program or any time thereafter during the business week and get this on its way to you absolutely free of charge. And I'll be right back.
Millions pray every day in different ways for different reasons and to different gods. Some are reciting out of habit, others in desperate physical or psychological pain. The Home Office of the Church of God International receives dozens of prayer requests every week from individuals who urgently need divine intervention in their own lives. Many personal tragedies and trials lead individuals on a quest for the identity of God. Is there a secret or a formula for obtaining God's favor in response to prayer? Call now for your free copy of The Answer to Unanswered Prayer. It begins by establishing proofs of the existence of a divine creator. It sheds light on the dilemma of unanswered prayer. It's yours free of charge when you call 903-825-2525.
This book, absolutely free of charge. Those of you that have watched this program for years, and every now and then I'll run across someone who began to watch me back in the 1950s. Last July, I crossed my 40th anniversary of television broadcasting, and this November, my 40th anniversary of radio broadcasting. I'd forgotten that I actually started on TV before radio, but they know that they receive this literature absolutely without cost, without charge, without a bill to follow. It is really free. And I know an awful lot of shut-ins, elderly people, people on Social Security and welfare cannot afford, they can barely afford the postage to, or the telephone call to call in or to write in to get it. And it's free of charge, there is no price, and we want you to have it. So please do that. And believe me, there is no hidden cost, and no one is ever going to ask you for money later on at all. It's a thick book. It's going to really change your life. It's going to be one of the biggest helps you've ever heard. Now let me show you what is in here. I want to put up a scripture there at home for you to see, and you can look it up in your own Bible later on if you'd like. It's right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, in the famous Sermon of Jesus in the 5th, 6th, and 7th chapters of the book of Matthew. And here is one of the most important scriptures about prayer. Verse 5, Matthew 6, "And when you pray, you shall not be as the hypocrites are." Now I'm going to put my name in there, and you put your name in there. Now when you, Garner Ted, pray, don't you, Garner Ted, be like the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues, churches, places of worship, and in the corners of the streets. You see, a street corner is an intersection, so there are more people that can hear you in a street corner than maybe about midway down the block. "That they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward." Wow. How about that? I've also heard people, well, they've called and they've asked, and people have written letters and said, "Why is it you never pray on your program?" Hey, there's the answer. What else can I tell you? Why don't I pray in public? You know, it must be a lot of fun for someone to stand on a street corner feeling all haughty, pharisaical, disdainful, supercilious, and self-righteous, and say, "Oh, Lord, we thank thee, this and that, and flee from the wrath to come, and you poor people, you sinners," and so on out there. Because they're getting a gigantic thrill, a gigantic kick out of it inwardly, because they're praying in public and nobody else is. That's what Christ is talking about here. He says, don't pray in the churches. Wow. Now, did he mean what he said? You mean you're not even supposed to pray in church? Well, I think we have examples in the Bible of Paul kneeling down with the Ephesian elders. I think we have examples of Christ lifting his eyes to heaven at Lazarus' tomb and praying and being heard in public. I think we have examples in God saying that we ought to give him thanks and to ask blessing over meals. That's one thing. But praying long, long prayers about yourself and getting a case of the gimmies, give me this, give me that, give me the other thing, Lord, I need this, I need that, oh Lord this and oh Lord that, in public is something which Jesus Christ of Nazareth said, don't do. Now, I'm on one of the most public mediums right now that man has ever invented. Radio and television. Television, more effective than radio by far because you get to look at it. So you get to see the fellow doing it. Now, I've seen other people. I'm not a religious, you know, hobbyist, so I don't turn around and watch about a dozen religious programs like a lot of people do on a Sunday. And people that are shut in and got nothing better to do with their time, they watch all kinds of religious programs. I don't do that. I'm not a fan of a couple, three, four dozen people and watch and try to keep my ear to the ground to see what everybody else is saying and doing. But you can't help come across it from time to time, now can you? I've got one of those automatic deals too. We're so lazy, we don't want to get up and go to the television set and turn the knob anymore. We just sit there and let our thumb do the work. Well, I usually get rid of it as fast as I can, but I can't avoid it all. So even sometimes when I'm trying to find my own program on the air just to monitor it and see what kind of a job I might have done and see whether I can improve next time or if I don't like that program, and some of them I don't like, I will see these people and they've got their eyes all scrunched up and they're holding hands and their heads are just a-bobbing around and they're, oh, Lord, you know, rebuke. I'm just, you know, portraying it. I don't want to put anybody down. They're sincere, and they believe that they should do that, and they probably believe they're being heard. But all I'm saying is, it says, in the name and the words of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, because they love to pray standing up in the synagogues or the churches and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Now, I can be seen of hundreds of thousands or even a few million people on this medium if I start to pray in public. And what am I doing if I've done that? I'm disobeying what Jesus Christ said. He said in Luke 6:46, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Now, here's something that he says. Here's something he tells me. Let's go on. It says, verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, you, Garner Ted, you know, Henry and Betty and John and Gerald out there, you, when you pray, enter into your closet. Now that can be any other private room, and that's what it really means, a private room. And when you have shut your door, why would you do that? Well, because you don't want other people to see or to hear. You want to be in complete private. Pray to your Father which is in secret, and your Father which is in secret or sees in secret shall reward you openly. How about that? Prayer is private. You know, we operate on several levels. There are people that have an illusion of me that they think because they see me on TV or they see me in a personal appearance somewhere when I'm speaking in public, and they think they know old Garner Ted. You know, I know Garner Ted pretty well. I've watched him for years. Well, that's an illusion. You know, you think you know me fine. I hope you know me as well as you can by this medium, but you really don't. Then there's another level, and that's people around me, all of the people in the church, my fellow ministers, my associates here in our studios overlooking Lake Palestine, and they know me. Then there's another level of friends, of deep personal friends and close personal friends with whom I share confidences, and they know me pretty well. Then there's my wife. Of course, she tells me she knows me better than I know myself, and a lot of people are that way. And then finally, there is God, and God knows me better than I know myself. God knows when even I, in deepest prayer, am praying to him and not quite getting it right, because maybe there are some additional things I ought to be saying, and maybe I'm asking some things for my family or children or grandchildren or friends or whatever that are a bit selfish on my part and I shouldn't be asking. And you know, the Bible says that God's Holy Spirit intervenes with our human spirit because it says, quote, we know not how to pray as we ought. And talks about how the Spirit makes intercession in the innermost groanings of the Spirit. And that actually God understands sometimes inarticulate expressions of desire, of reaching God, of things that are involving our personal lives, of the deepest desire to be forgiven for our sins and to be heard of God and to know that God has heard us and to know that He's going to do something about it. Now, I want you to get this booklet because it is a key to doing precisely that for you. Let me tell you something else that he says and put up the scriptures there at home for you from time to time so you can see them. Verse 7 of the 6th chapter of the book of Matthew. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. Have you ever heard repetitive prayers? Now, I've been to the Middle East many times. I've been all over the world. I've been around the world. I've been to the Orient many times, and I've heard public prayers. I've heard prayers chanted. We used to call the Midnight Harangue, or what we called him, out of one of the weird comic strips in the United States. It was kind of humorous. I remember way back in the 60s where they had the Midnight Harangue in one of these comic strips. And you get over there, and the minaret in the mosque sounds off the call to prayer. And, of course, I don't understand a word of Arabic. And here is the sing-song tone of the orator up there that is midnight or whatever. I mean, it wakes you up at all hours of the night. And you hear this echoing all over the countryside by loudspeakers. So I've heard it, and probably you've heard it. But what is the one example that you can think of in Protestant evangelical Christianity with which you're familiar, which is a repetitive prayer? There are several that come to my mind. One is a Catholic program that is a repetitive repeating of the rosary that had just played over and over and over and over and over again. I don't know if it's still on the air, but I did hear it once or twice many, many years, maybe 20 years ago. Another is that millions of people every single weekend are repeating the Lord's Prayer. They are doing this in responsive readings. The minister in the pulpit or a reader will say, Our Father which art in heaven. They'll all join in immediately, and they do it together. And they chime in, and if there's any part of the Bible, like the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag politically, then spiritually and religiously, the one scripture in the Bible that everybody knows is supposedly the Lord's Prayer. What a shock to find out it is not the Lord's Prayer at all. It is an outline to prayer. It is the manner, the way, the method, the formula that we should use when we pray. It's not a prayer, it's an outline to prayer. It's a way in which we ought to pray. Let me again show you exactly the truth about that. When you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. And when you go into India and the Southeast Asian area and the Far East or even the Middle East, you hear an awful lot of vain repetitions. You hear recitals of prayer just endlessly repeated. For they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. The longer you keep at it, the more you repeat it, hour after hour after hour, with a dirty finger out of the beanbag, the way some religions from the East think that they ought to do, and I've seen that done as well, they think that really gets God's attention. You only do it two or three times, God doesn't hear you. After the 337th time, he's beginning to say, I think somebody's praying to me. And then finally, you get the point. After about 590 times, God is really listening. Is that the way it works? The Bible says no. Christ said no. Now, this is not my idea I'm giving you. All I'm giving you here is something right out of the very most important Sermon on the Mount. He says, Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. And then he says, After this manner therefore pray ye. And he begins, Our Father, which art in heaven. Now, the book that I have for you goes through every bit of this. It is an outline to prayer. It is the way we address God. It is like handing you the wavelength. It's like handing you the, as I said in my analogy of getting from a jet airplane at 37,000 feet in the sky to one of the controllers down below, switch to frequency thus and such and so, and you're going to get through. Now, what I've done in this book, and it's quite a thick book, and it's absolutely free of charge to you, is to take every one of the points of this outline, our Father, the fatherhood of God, which art in heaven. Where is heaven? All about what the Bible says about heaven, the fact that there are three heavens mentioned in the Bible. Hallowed be thy name. What about God's holy name? What is it? What are the various titles and the names of God? Thy kingdom come. What about God's kingdom? What does that mean? Does it mean spiritually? Does it mean intellectually? Does it mean politically on this earth? What does it mean? I want you to take another time out. Be sure to get this book. If you've never responded to this program before because you think, I'll bet you they're going to send me a bill. I'll bet there's something to it. It's not free. I could be sued for telling you what I'm telling you. I'm not going to lie to you on the air. This is free of charge. There is no price. It's gratis. It's free now. It's free next week, next month, next year, and forever. It's absolutely free. So be sure to watch very carefully, get the address, or better yet, the telephone number, and I'll be right back.
Millions pray every day, in different ways, for different reasons, and to different gods. Some are reciting out of habit, others in desperate physical or psychological pain. The Home Office of the Church of God International receives dozens of prayer requests every week from individuals who urgently need divine intervention in their own lives. Many personal tragedies and trials lead individuals on a quest for the identity of God. Is there a secret or a formula for obtaining God's favor in response to prayer? Call now for your free copy of The Answer to Unanswered Prayer. It begins by establishing proofs of the existence of a divine creator. It sheds light on the dilemma of unanswered prayer. It's yours free of charge when you call 903-825-2525.
I happen to know that there are millions of people out there who have desperate needs and who pray to God every single day. I know that especially on the weekends, people pray because they go to their churches and they pray, or they sit in front of television and get some religion that way and they pray. And our mail is filled with requests for people who want us to pray. And they mention James 5:14 about if any is sick, let him call the elders of the church. And when they pray and anoint them with oil, that God is going to hear them. And they cite the 103rd Psalm where God says that he is the one who forgives us all of our iniquities and heals all of our diseases and our debilities. And I'll tell you, as I look at our mail, and I know this because I hear it on television all the time, America is sick. We are a nation filled with people with mental, emotional, physical debilities and diseases, with psychoses, neuroses, and hang-ups, with alcoholics and abusers of tobacco and drug addicts and people who live in high-crime neighborhoods. And we are a society that is increasingly elderly. People are living longer, but they're living in pain, they're living in loneliness, and they're living in every kind of suffering. And the one main thing they want is an answer to prayer. Now, I can't sell information about how to get an answer to prayer. I just couldn't ever do that. This is absolutely free of charge. It is a substantial book, and it's thoroughly researched. It is biblical. You're going to enjoy it. It's free of charge if you will dial 903-825-2525. That's 903-825-2525. And I'll see you right here in 1 week.
For free literature and tapes, Australian listeners should write to Garner Ted Armstrong, Post Office Box 525, Cessna, New South Wales, 23251.